The word hypocrite is based on a Greek word that means an actor. And actors in the ancient Greek world would wear masks to represent the different characters of the play. And so the development of the word hypocrite illustrates one wearing a mask, projecting a false image of oneself, projecting an inconsistency on how they behave in public versus in private. Jesus criticized a number of people with hypocrisy. And we've heard it in the gospel according to Matthew. And he uttered those words to invite those who were living inconsistent lives to repent, to undergo conversion. Hypocrisy in the church is used as an excuse by some to leave the church or to avoid joining the church. What does Jesus have to say about dealing with hypocrisy within the faith community, including among the leaders of a faith community? We look at the church. The church is fashioned by the will of God, founded by the eternal Son of God who came to share in our humanity, and is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God to continue the mission and ministry of Jesus. The church is a divine institution, but composed of human beings who are undergoing conversion. Of course, this should never excuse scandal or sin to happen in the church. That would serve as an obstacle or a stumbling block for someone to continue their discipleship within the church, or for someone not even to come and become a member of the church. But again, what does the Lord Jesus have to say about those responses to hypocrisy within the community of faith? The Lord Jesus is speaking to the crowds, and among the crowds are his disciples, his followers, and he talks about the Pharisees and the scribes, two groups of people invested with religious leadership within the community. He said that they had authority, they sat on the chair of Moses, and that the people were to respect their authority, and they were also to respect what they preached, because it came from the revelation of God. However, they had to reject the examples of the Pharisees and scribes that Jesus mentions, because he said, they preach but do not practice what they preach. Every Christian must strive to live with integrity as a joyful response to God's love for us. We can either be a help or a hindrance to someone who seeks God. But certainly religious leaders among Christians have a special responsibility to live in holiness with honesty and integrity. It is not only for their sake, but for the sake of the people who are entrusted to their pastoral care. And those who abuse their authority and exploit others must face the consequences of their behavior, including being a distraction to people who want to follow Christ within his church but get discouraged over hypocrisy. Jesus said that the Pharisees and the scribes were hypocrites because they were not concerned about asking others to obey the word of God, but they would excuse themselves from doing so when it became inconvenient for them. Jesus said that some of the Pharisees and scribes would use religious items like phylacteries and tassels as status symbols rather than a means to grow closer to God. It is similar to one who will wear a cross or a crucifix around their neck or on the lapel, or put it in their cars, or what have you. They have that outward show, but there's no inward desire to carry the cross of commitment with Christ. Even though there are hypocrites within the faith community, Jesus teaches in this gospel reading that it cannot be a reason for someone to refuse to join the church or to leave it. The hypocrisy of some believers cannot invalidate the word of God, which is the revealed truth of God, who is always faithful to us. Jesus taught that he is building his church and the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Jesus said he would be with the church always, even to the end of the age. So the solution to hypocrisy is not to abandon the practice of our faith. It is to advance in the pursuit of being holy. Maybe those who are hypocrites will be converted by our example, but it won't happen if we decide to be so discouraged that we would absent ourselves from the community that Christ has gathered. Some people want to say that they are spiritual and not religious, meaning they want to develop a spirituality on their own. Don't want to have to deal with a faith community about that. But that is contrary to what Jesus intends for us. He proclaims his gospel and he builds his church. They are inseparable developments. And Jesus says hypocrites should not get in the way of that development. The hypocrite publicly believes something, privately practices something else, and finds nothing wrong with the contradiction. And that's a distinction that those who would want to distance themselves from the church to understand. Also, for some of you to understand, because some of you may wonder, am I being a hypocrite? Once again, a hypocrite professes something, but privately practices in a way contrary to what they profess publicly, and they do not care about the contradiction that exists. They have put on a mask. They are actors. And if they do not repent, the fraud will soon be discovered. For, as St. Paul says, be careful. God cannot be mocked. But the one who is striving to become holy is cooperating with God, cooperating with the people in the community of faith. The one who is striving to be holy is working with God and others to integrate the principles of our faith into how we think, how we speak, and how we act. The person who is striving to become holy understands that that pursuit is not perfectionism. We did not come out of heaven, but we want to go there. And so we're in a process of conversion. And so insofar as we're not thinking, speaking, or acting in a way that conforms to the teaching and example of Christ, we want to turn away from those things. The hypocrite doesn't care to turn away from those things. But the one who wants to grow in holiness wants to undergo conversion. People need to understand that distinction. There is no perfect church community. And because we are people who are created in God's image and likeness to be good, but are wounded by sin, striving to grow in holiness, but not perfect. The moment you think you've found a perfect church, it will become imperfect because you joined it. And you will find that other people are not perfected either, but they are in that process of being converted. And that is not hypocrisy. That's the Lord at work within us. That's the Word of God at work within those who believe, as St. Paul mentioned. The pursuit of holiness is not lost if we allow ourselves to be diverted from the path that the Lord has laid out for us. We prayed in the beginning of Holy Mass today that in response to who God is and what God has promised to those who entrust their lives to Him, that we may hasten to God without stumbling, meaning not to procrastinate in doing the will of the Lord, but to be prompt. But there are times in which we haven't been prompt, and there are times in which we have stumbled. But the person who is pursuing holiness knows that by the grace of God, they don't have to remain flat on their faces after they stumbled. But they look up and see the Lord Jesus Christ there, ready to pick them back up, to learn the lessons of what happened when they got lost on the way, and then they continue to go on the way in which Jesus leads. One needs to make a distinction between the hypocrite and the one who desires to be holy and is involved in intentional actions to become holy. Becoming holy means to be humble, as Jesus talked about today in the gospel reading. Humility does not mean having an excessive focus on one's imperfections or failures. Again, one learns the lessons of the past, they apply those lessons, and they move forward, following in the footsteps of the Lord. And they walk in the freedom that God provides because God has delivered them from that sin. And the person wants to work with God to make sure they avoid the near occasions of sin. But they don't give up if they mess up again. They get back up and they continue to grow so that when the occasion of sin happens, they become stronger. And the love they have for God and the true love they have for themselves and the love they have for others helps them to say yes to God and no to anything that leads them away from God. Humble people appreciate their common baptismal vocation, but they also appreciate the distinctive vocations they have within the church that also benefits our communities. And therefore, humble people live without apology to the glory of God. They're not pointing to themselves, but they're glorifying God who has given them this vocation and enables them to live according to godly values. And this, brothers and sisters, is the context of Jesus' teaching about using titles. He criticized some of the Pharisees and scribes for being self-centered and using titles to be self-important rather than pointing to the true source of their authority and being humbled to have that stewardship from God. Has anyone ever raised to you an objection about calling a priest father based on the gospel reading that you heard today? If anyone ever brings that up, that objection up, ask them, well, do you object to calling someone teacher? Because Jesus said the same thing, call no one your teacher. You only have one teacher. But I find people don't bring that up. And people have no problem asking their young people when they come back from school, well, how was school today? What did your teacher say? They didn't think they were violating the scriptures when they said that. Scriptures need to be read in context. The context was is that the scribes and Pharisees were taking up titles so they could puff themselves up rather than point to God. And Jesus said it would be better for them not to use any titles if they're going to use the title to dishonor God. But he wasn't saying never use the title. Look at St. Paul. St. Paul the Apostle is a faithful witness of the gospel and a great missionary of the church. And yet he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, I became your father in the gospel. Was he violating the teaching of Christ? Of course not. St. Paul was acknowledging his responsibility before God in his relationship to the Corinthian church. He was not boasting about it. He was reminding them of the stewardship he had received. And the same thing happens when we call a priest father. For the title respects what God has done for the priest through the ministry of the church. It's not a job. The ordination profoundly changes the man. Serve in the ministerial priesthood. And to call the priest father also reminds the priest about what God has called him to be. People who are discouraged by hypocrisy in the church are voicing a hunger for holiness. They want to know if the word of God really works in the lives of those who believe. We celebrated the Solemnity of All Saints on Wednesday, and we say it's a holy day of obligation because we need to be reminded that God has chosen men and women across the centuries of different ages, including young people, including children, including the laity. They were priests and deacons as well. They were consecrated religious. People of every background who were able to cooperate with the love of God at work within them. And as a result, they are now in heaven. And we need to be reminded that the same God who worked through them is now working within us so that we can join the ranks of the saints in heaven. God chooses us to show those who may be discouraged by hypocrisy in the church that holiness of life is possible as we persevere in trusting our lives to God and allowing his love to influence how we think, speak, and act. And as we show others that hypocrisy never defines the church, but holiness defines the church. One holy, Catholic, and apostolic church.